dance, dance,
dance until you die.
Welcome back to Salem and Binks Present. I am your host, Nina, and I will be your Salem today. And
I'm Lily, and I will be your Binks today.
Yes. And yes. Today, in particular, will be a very Salem and very Binksy day.
Quite literally.
Yes. We are talking about the ultimate Halloween classic, Hocus Pocus. Everyone's favorite, including my favorite and Lily's favorite. We have grown up with this movie.
Yes, 100%. It's basically the quintessential for me. Like, gotta watch every year Halloween movie, like, yes. For sure. Like, I have plenty of, like, movies that I like to watch in the fall and, like, Halloween time, but, like, Hocus Pocus has always been, like,
the must. Yeah.
The must.
Ultimate, like, it, if you don't watch Hocus Pocus, did Halloween even happen? I'm just asking, so.
And just, like, Nina and I alone, like, how many times we've seen this movie together? Like, definitely all through, like, high school, yes. And then after high school, like, yes. Every time it was, like, officially fall, it's like, okay, so when are we watching Hocus Pocus?
Yeah, it was always, like, not just a Halloween movie night. It was, like, when specifically are we watching? It's, like, yep. A Hocus Pocus movie night.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yes, oh my God. It's very much its own thing.
So this movie has become like a beloved classic. It kind of like a later classic because I feel like when it first came out, they released it in July.
Right.
Which is like...
Mm-hmm. It didn't do well, needless to say.
Like, honestly, like Disney, I don't know, you done fucked up. What were you thinking? Bless your hearts. Like, that's not the best idea. But... what's just funny about it is, like, just over the years, if you know what, it's actually kind of got, like, Nightmare Before Christmas syndrome.
Yeah.
You know, or, like, wasn't totally loved and then just grew into being the most loved thing ever. Mm-hmm. And cult now classic. Cult classic. Now merched for days on this film. Mm-hmm. Spirit Halloween has a ton of fandom merch, costumes now. I mean, there's endless great things to say about this movie.
Yeah.
The only, like... I don't even want to say negative, but like somewhat negative feedback that I've kind of seen or heard over this film, over the internet, over the years, is from like some Halloween purists, kind of like myself. I kind of like everything in the umbrella, or I'm open to everything in the umbrella of Halloween, I guess. If anything, I'm a little less in love with like just slasher horror, like you know, mentioned in the Halloween episode. That's not always my jam, per se, but for me, a holiday movie or a Halloween movie, it's all about the atmosphere.
Oh, 100%.
All about the...
same for me, yeah.
Aesthetic, and that's, you know, again, why we click so well on these things.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny, because the only, like, not great feedback about this movie I've seen has come from people who are just, like... old school horror fans who are like, that's not Halloween, you know, and it's like they just don't like it, or they don't maybe appreciate it, and that's okay. It's not every movie's for everybody.
It's a Kenny Ortega Halloween.
This is a Kenny Ortega film, so get ready to dance.
Need
betches.
We say more? Yeah. I mean, of course you can't take it seriously, like.
Of course.
Yeah.
No, this man directed High School Musical, so. Get your jazz shoes on, right, bitches. Yeah. Like, let's get in sync organized. That's a great point. That's the perfect way to sum up why.
I mean, it really is.
Haters it's gonna,
like,
hate.
Yeah, and I'm sure it is, like you said, like a very small amount of people who would hate on this movie. But it's like, again, like it's like you're not, you can't, it's a Kenny Ortega Halloween movie.
It's supposed
and,
to
like,
be campy.
You can't really compare it to other, serious Halloween movies.
No. Yeah, this is not trick or treat.
Kenny Ortega.
Yeah, this is not going to be like, you know, an unexpected... this is Disney, guys. Yeah.
It's very, like, Disney Channel feeling.
Yes.
Like, if... I don't really know how to, like,
that's actually
describe
funny that you
other
say
than,
that. Because you know this was supposed to be, or was initially considered to be, a Disney Channel original movie.
Was it? Okay, yeah. Because it's so weird, because literally only up until, I don't know, a couple years ago when I actually looked into it or something, I actually fully assumed,
yeah,
without like really thinking about it hard enough, for some reason in the back of my head, I always assumed it was a DCOM.
Yeah, isn't that funny? Cool, because they always showed it on Disney Channel a lot. I guess so,
because it was like, yeah, and it was just, I don't know, it was hard for me to picture this movie being... In the theaters. Mm-hmm. But also, that's probably because it came out in 1993.
We were babies.
When we were literally babies.
Yeah, we were. And which, so, it doesn't feel like that to me. I guess because I grew up watching it so much, I always thought, it always feels a little bit later 90s when I was more, you know, conscious. But it's definitely even looking
at it, like, okay, granted, most of the characters are in some type of, like, costume, like, Halloween costume throughout. So in the beginning, like, I guess it's more... people just in their, like, normal clothes or whatever. But, like, even then, it doesn't look to that early 90s to me.
Yeah, but I feel like it could have been. Obviously, yeah.
Like, this isn't a conspiracy.
I know.
But, like, it never looked like, you know
what
I mean?
You all think this came out in 1993, but you're wrong. Your memories are wrong. Mandela effect approaches.
But really, it, like, just visually, it never looked... Yeah, and you know, something that actually weirdly, like, I... just doing, like, a little research before coming here today, like, I was looking at, like, a couple, like, featurettes or whatever, and one of the featurettes that was all in the visual effects...
Oh, the, like, best!
Oh, my God.
That clip is amazing.
That really dated it.
Yes.
Like, it, like, looked straight up, like, shitty, like, public access-y, like... You know, the narrator, like, literally, like, it was weird. He almost had, like, a mid-Atlantic kind of, like, voice. And I'm like, God, this feels even older than early 90s. It honestly felt like something from, like, a featurette from the 80s or something.
Isn't
but, like,
that interesting?
That really dated it for me. And I was like, oh, shit, I guess this really is, like, early 90s. But it never felt that way. And maybe that's because it's something, like, we just watched on repeat growing
up,
and you don't notice
it.
Those things. You don't notice those things, like, when you're, you know?
That's such a good point. Like, some movies have that, and it's classics, typically. Some classics that have that thing where you forget the year that it came out, because you're like, oh, how could they have made it so... Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes I have that... even though it's a weird one, with Gone with the Wind, just because technologically, it was so impressive.
Yeah.
You're not thinking 1939 when you watch that movie.
It's crazy.
You're not even thinking this could be from prior to the 40s. Yeah. Like, it's just so beautiful and epic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That's just a random
example. I feel like Titanic's another one, too. That's always been that way for me, too. Even watching it today.
Yeah.
You never, and again, it's everyone's in, like, period costumes or whatever. So it's like...
But it's supposed to be set in that
different
time.
The visual effects have always been so on
point. Maybe if everyone's in a costume that isn't so specific to the time in which it was made, like Halloween costumes or Margaret Mitchell, like, you know, Gone with the Wind era costumes.
Right.
Maybe that's what it is. I don't know.
I guess. I think there's a connection here with, with these movies we're talking
about.
We
solved it, guys. We are your new movie detectives.
That being said, now being, like, you know, an adult and being older and being able to, like, recognize those super 90s, like, things, like, it's such a joy now, like, being aware of that and going back and watching things like this and, like, little things you never thought of, like, as a kid. And it's just like, oh, man, it's hilarious. Just adds a whole other extra level of, like...
The most fun thing about holiday movies, like, what inspired me to start this podcast is, like, there's something to be said for how there are films that we return to every year. And every year, we are a little older, hopefully a little wiser. And I do think every time I return to, like, a movie like this, where I've seen it a million times, I still learn new things.
Mm-hmm.
I still notice new things. And I still, as a viewer, will just learn new lessons or morals that are within the story, too.
Yeah.
It's something that you just, as you're growing, you know, you're going from being a kid to being a grown-up, someday a parent, you know, you learn, like, different things and you see things in different perspectives.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, it's just funny. Like, I think this year, as I was watching this movie, I'm thinking about the parents who I've always loved in this movie who just dance their asses off all fucking night while their kids are about to be, you know, basically eaten, and, you know, in a way. So I just, I don't know why, but like, and I'm not a parent, but I know that'll eventually be the case someday. And I think like the older I get, the more I like kind of love the parents for being like, you know, fuck this. You kids do what you want. We're going to the town hall party. Yeah. Like the parents have the best time in this movie, hands down. Like,
so true. So and they great. Actually like post credits or maybe during the credits yes. or something, they like show all the parents coming out of the town hall party and they're all like,
they're so fucked up. They're so fucked up. Oh my god. That's just one of the best moments in this movie. It's just too great. Like,
so good.
Oh, I know. So I say we get this B.O.B. out there and we're just gonna continue enjoying okay. talking about yes. this movie. And we have an actual back of box with actual us today.
Physical media.
It's there in our hands. None of that digital stuff the kids are downloading these days.
Okay. I'm just going to wing this. So yes, forgive girl. Me if I totally fuck up. But I think it'll be fun to just wing it without reading
I'm ready.
It first. Okay.
All right, folks. Here is the B.O.B. for Hocus Pocus.
I know.
I'm ready for it.
Because I can just see the first, like, few words. And it's fucking cheesy. Okay.
I know. I'm ready for the cheese. Give me all the cheesiness that is going to happen okay. here.
You're in for a devil of a time when three outlandishly wild witches, Bette Midler, Sarah Jessica Parker, and Kathy Najimy, return from 17th century Salem after they are accidentally conjured up by some unsuspecting pranksters! Exclamation mark. It's a night full of zany fun and comic chaos.
Ooh.
Once the tricky 300-year-old trio sets out to cast a spell on the town and reclaim their youth, but first they must get their act together and outwit three kids and a talking cat. Loaded with bewitching laughs, Hocus Pocus is an outrageously wild comedy that's sure to entertain everyone. Goddamn, the person who wrote this B.O.B. literally used abused exclamation marks. I think it's after every single sentence. There's an exclamation mark. Incredible.
They were stoked. They loved this movie.
What do you think, Nina? Is it an outrageously wild comedy? I don't know if I would categorize
say,
it as
I don't
that.
Know. It's hilarious. It is funny. I say let's talk first off
yeah.
about, and this will be like the little history lecture and then we'll get over it. This is supposed to be based, obviously it takes place in Salem, so it's supposed to be based on the Salem witch trials that took place in 1692 mm-hmm. to 1693. And we all know as an audience that these witches are not at all what the so-called witches of that time and that place and that horrible trial mm-hmm. were like. They literally would have dressed just like anybody else. They would not have had an ounce of what these gals have going on. Like, no.
None of the flair.
Yeah, you had a piece of that flair.
Lime green striped socks.
Yeah. Those lime green striped socks. She would have been hanged already. Let's just put that out there. That's just not how that would have gone. First impressions of this movie, first initial experiences with this movie, I first watched this, and this was how I heard about the Salem Witch Trials.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Hmm. I mean, as I was little, and I was like, wait, like, okay, they were killing these women? Like, that's scary, and the scene was creepy. Like, I was very weirded out. And then I had, you know, after kind of gathering pieces of information in the movie, later in school, grade school, maybe fourth grade, fifth grade.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So very young. We weren't really learning about that yet.
Yeah.
But it very much spiked my curiosity. Yeah. Even though at even that young age, I could tell, okay, there's a campiness that I'm sure is not realistic here. Even then, I was like, I'm still curious. I want to know what happened. Mm-hmm. And like ever since, this is why this movie is just so dear to my heart. I have been, it's the number one historical event that fascinates me.
It is true.
I'm obsessed. I have like tons of books on the subject. I've definitely. Tried to watch every documentary I can watch on the subject. Yeah. Like
when everyone was in like junior year of high school and having to like read The Crucible right? and do essays and shit, Nina's like over here just like
I'm having like Crucible leisurely, movie nights.
Yeah, like just for herself, just because it interested her. And I remember always thinking that, like, it's not that I wasn't interested in it, but it was just like, Jesus, we're literally like having to write essays on this shit, and you're like, this is fun for you.
Yeah. I was just so into it. I do not, like, I promise I'm not that way with that many other historical events and eras and situations, but this is the one. Yeah. This is the one for me.
Definitely. Know. Yeah.
I'm about it. I don't know. I am.
And you, yes, you always have been, as far as I've known. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's my initial, like, why, you know, that's what first struck me and part of why I hold on to it. I also just generally enjoy the shit out of it. It is funny. It is cute. It's atmospheric, aesthetically beautiful. It's everything you want in a festive Halloween film. Yes. And Halloween plays a role in the story itself, which I think also just makes it a great movie for the holiday, let alone all the decor and the Disney flair. I mean, the list goes on.
Yeah, definitely. For me, like, there's always been, like, even when I was so young, you're talking about that age, like, I don't know, fourth grade, something like that. Like, whenever I first saw this, like, there's always been something, like, when I was younger that I knew, like, really spoke to me in this movie, like, outside of, like, oh, it's like, you know, fun comedy, like, whatever, like, ooh, Halloween movie that isn't actually, like, scary.
Yeah, it's entertaining.
Yeah, but there's always been something else, like, and why I've always, this is the one every year that I want to, like, return to since I was a child, literally all up until, like, throughout my adulthood, like, yes. It's still happening. And I, like, kind of, like, having to watch this for this podcast and kind of attempt to look at it critically, like, you can't go too deep beyond the surface.
Right.
But it kind of is what it is, but, yeah. Like, trying to, like, figure out what is that for this, and I definitely, like, especially doing the research that I did, it's something that I think we brought this up, like, when, the last time I was on, and we were kind of talking about the things that we've connected on, and a lot of it has been, like, spooky stuff, and Halloween, and, like, oh, New England, and, like, the stuff that you don't get when you're a kid in Southern California,
I know.
Like, growing up in a beach town.
Right.
And, but that's something that we've always been kind of obsessed with. Yes.
Just and the setting alone is so appealing to people like Lily and myself. Right. I mean.
Well, looking into this and, like, I hadn't really done any research up until now on this movie. And as far as, like, the shooting locations and stuff goes, like, I have to be honest, like, I think subconsciously I was maybe avoiding looking into it too much because...
Do you want to be heartbroken?
Yeah, I was going to be
there are some
disappointed.
Shockers. There are shockers
if
in it.
If it wasn't, if part of it didn't take place in, like, New England.
Mm-hmm.
Because for, I don't know, for all I know, like, what if the whole fucking thing was shot in, like, Southern California?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
It doesn't really look like it in every scene, but, but looking into it, and I'm like, oh, shit. They actually legit shot a lot in actual Salem.
Yeah, they did. And they got so many of those shots where he's riding his bike around town. Just the general setting and when they're meeting
even
up
that
and walking
whole,
around.
Yeah, that whole opening sequence in...
Which is classic
I'm
Disney.
I'm going to turn it to change, sorry.
No worries. I love that scene.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, sorry.
Yeah.
The opening sequence where it's, like, doing the... It's, like, flying over the...
Oh, yeah.
The trees or, like, whatever. That. And then it's in Thackeray Binks's, like...
Which
it's
is...
like, where he lives or whatever.
Total
they
tangent,
shot that.
But that's a great shot because, like you were saying, trying to sit down and watch this movie critically, even though you kind of remember. I tried to very initially go, okay, act like this is the first time you're seeing this movie. Just seeing the... That POV shot and realizing it's a POV when you see that shadow, the witch's
over the
shadow.
Lake,
I never really realized how impactful like that was.
Yeah, I know.
Very cool.
And it gets you so excited.
I know.
And it's like, it's beautiful too. It's like you're seeing all the fall trees and everything. And they shot that opening scene at Salem Pioneer Village.
Yes.
Which is like
top of my
legit.
List of places I want to go, by the way. Yes.
But it's just, that's so great because like, they could have easily shot that shit, like, on
some
Warner Brothers Ranch or something, where they did shoot a lot of, like, some stuff there. But, like, they could have shot that somewhere.
Yeah.
Here if they, but, like, there's something about, like, it just, the fact that it is, like, in the legit, like, location.
Kind
that,
of
like,
honoring.
Adds so much more to it. And I think that, and then, like, a lot of the scenes where they're kind of just, I don't know, at the school and then going around and trick-or-treating and outside of, like, Allison's house and, like, all of that. Like, there's something with, like, those locations being shot in, like, actual Salem.
Yes.
that weirdly, like, resonated with me as a kid.
Yeah.
Like, it's like I could tell, like, it was, like...
There is definitely something to be said for... And I think, again, it's almost, like, just maybe an innate thing or a subconscious thing where you as a viewer are aware of the setting. And, like, I think as filmmakers and producers, it was the right call to film quite a bit of this in Salem.
Yeah.
You know, it gives not only that town the recognition it deserves for it being what it is, but I think just you're giving the story the realism it deserves, too.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know... Hollywood is constantly make believe, giving it that just that extra added touch is so, so cool.
And yeah, I feel like it's weird. You can tell. I could tell even as a kid. Yeah. I was like, this definitely feels like real, like New England. Like I feel like I'm transported when I like watch it. Even though it's like it's not a, you know, it's a really silly movie or like whatever. But
the atmosphere makes all the difference.
It really does.
Film.
And I think that's why this movie compared to other like Halloween, I guess, quote unquote, like movies I watched like as a kid.
Yeah.
Like I think that's one big reason why this stuck with me. Like actually all this stuff like from the beginning up until like the middle when they actually like really start like doing shit.
Yeah.
Like just like him in like the high school and then when they're trick or treating and like all that and the shots of like that gorgeous house that they live in.
Gorgeous.
And like all of that, like that's like some of my favorite stuff.
Yeah.
Like
I love him
going through the cemetery and the bullies like meeting up with him in the cemetery. Yes.
Greatest guys ever.
Also something else funny that I noticed.
Yeah.
Is like looking up the locations and stuff is like you can tell when something's in real Salem because they all have, like, you can see their breath.
Yeah.
And it's, like, cold outside. Like, there's literally a scene, I think, where I think it's trick-or-treat, when they're trick-or-treating.
Mm-hmm.
And you know when, like, Danny dramatically falls on the haystack.
Which is so Disney. Every Disney princess has the throw themselves cry, where they throw themselves on something and they're just weeping for days. Yes.
Yeah, so she Danny's upset. Off. Yeah, and she like dramatically throws herself on the haystack with the pumpkins and starts crying, and they have a little conversation. Like, I think that and maybe whatever was happening before that was just like in Burbank.
Yeah.
You know, just I think probably Warner Brothers Ranch or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so there, that's happening. And then she's like, okay, I forgive you. And then it cuts and they turn around to see Allison's house, the exterior of it. And, like, all of a sudden you can see their breath.
Yeah.
Whereas you couldn't in, like, the scene prior.
Right.
And it's so obvious. Yeah. And it's like, okay, now
the way the light captures that, I know. It's too perfect. That's the kind of stuff you can't hide, you know?
Yeah.
And people who've really lived in weather notice that when they're watching a movie. Obviously, people in Hollywood who are not living in weather do not notice that kind of a thing. I talk all the time with my friend Bree, she went to college in Minnesota. All the time we're watching movies, she'd be like, if it's something like Fargo or like a movie that takes place in the Midwest, she'll just like, she'll just start laughing at it. She'll just be like, that's just fake ass snow, or that's like, they're not even cold. Like, it's just, yeah, she'll totally call it. It's great. But yeah, I think I'm glad that you said, you know, what you said about the atmosphere of New England, because Halloween itself, when we as Americans identify with Halloween, I do think that we, like, innately foot the bill with New England, because if you think about the history of it being popular in the United States, I mean, it's a Celtic holiday, but it came here in places like New England and the South. And so it sort of got what it became, like, what it is now is because of the culture that New England sort of gave it.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, the pumpkin being the symbol for Halloween is because of it being in New England.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't have pumpkins over in Europe because, and they used to carve turnips because that's what they had.
Wow.
Yeah. They used to carve turnips. They didn't, pumpkin is a American, is a, you know, North American fruit. So, which is just very interesting because I do think a lot of our traditions and a lot of our, especially our just whole cultural attachment to the holiday really comes from, you know, the early
colonial
and early settlement, and even further into like just American culture as it became and as it built, I think gave so much into what we now call Halloween, its tropes and its characteristics. So that's why another reason, you know, Salem's history or not, just New England itself is a perfect setting for Halloween films in general, just because of all the associations we have with it.
Definitely.
Yeah, and I do think, like I said before, Salem with its witch trials, for sure, a great setting. I read a while ago that the writer, I guess, used to tell this story to his kids before they went to bed or something, and then worked out a deal. They were going to do it as a Disney Channel original, and then the more they were looking at it, producers were like, this has theatrical potential. Like, it could be something bigger. And so then it started to get theatrical money and theatrical casting and, you know, that kind of a thing. But
and they were going to originally try to cast Leonardo DiCaprio as Max, which, like, I heard that and I was like, oh my God.
Could you imagine?
Can you imagine?
You know what? As much as I am a huge Leo fan and I think Leo is incredible, and obviously we just have what we have, you know, we couldn't say for sure, oh, he'd be better or worse, but I like that this guy, Omri Katz, got to do this movie.
Me too. And I love that he's just kind of, because it's kind of true. As much as I love, like, young Leo, like, in that Growing Pains, like, if you ever watched him in, like, Growing Pains or whatever, and then I think he turned it down to do Gilbert Grape, which is major.
I mean, you know.
Him at that age, like, because when he was on the show Growing Pains, like, I watched that, like, with my dad and my brother. Like, that was our show. Mm-hmm. And, like, I saw him, like, grow up, like, through. Yeah. That was the first thing I saw him in, was in Growing Pains.
Wow.
And so, like, that would have been, like, as cool as that would be, I totally agree with you. Like, there's some, I think Leo would be distractingly, like, handsome or some, you know.
Sometimes, like, big names, even when they're not big names yet, but when they do become one, like, later, and that is not to put down Omri Katz, I think there is kind of, like, a bit of a bummer there. There's a tiny bit of, like, tarnishment because it is a distraction. You know, as much as I love Leo or love someone like Brad Pitt, like, these incredibly talented, majorly great actors, sometimes you see them in things and you don't really take in what their character's name even is. You just don't even associate. You're just like, oh, well, that's George Clooney or that's just Brad Pitt. And it's like, some movies, that's totally fine and that works. And the celebrity aspect of it is what makes it great. But for some movies like this, wholesome films, family films, something that's like, you know, a micro-level adventure film, like, you want something that's maybe not this giant distraction.
Totally. Like, if you're just, like, looking at the acting, like, it's so understated is too strong of a word, but it's understated compared to the lead actors that they have now in, like, Disney Channel movies.
Oh,
or
seriously.
Any, like, Disney movie, for that matter, that's, like, a teen
no, this,
or kid
this
movie.
This film stands the test of time.
They're
because
not
it's
over
fucking
the
quality.
Top. Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially Vanessa Shaw. Sorry. Yeah. I already forgot her name.
No, it's okay. It's so true. Like, I know I'm going to sound super biased, but even having taken, like, children's television courses, like, I basically have learned that as 90s kids, we had the ultimate best time of entertainment for us. Mm-hmm. We were the only generation so far that has had educational entertainment where it's been very conscious. What are we showing the kids? And we need to be making sure that what they're seeing is important and what they're seeing is quality. I feel like we had that in the 90s and early 2000s. And then within the last decade or so, I mean, it's not just because I'm getting older, but it's literally cannot even watch half the shit that comes out.
God,
I mean, it's unbearable.
Yeah.
It really is. And I remember even in high school, I remember my drama teacher, Mrs. Hall, was saying, I keep getting these kids that are having this particular acting style.
I remember you telling me this.
Yeah, she was like, I couldn't for the longest time figure out why they were all having this very, like, this overacting sense. Like, they
overly animated.
Overly animated, overly, like, filled with attitude, filled with, like, just not even. There was zero listening to each other in scene work. I mean, it was very difficult to train these actors and these young kids. And she realized it's because of, like, the modern stuff that Disney Channel was putting out. And this, if you think about it, in our time, you know, we come from, like, the Even Stevens, Lizzie McGuire era. And we were we were lucky to have what we got. We got single cam comedies, and those are quality. Those take a lot more work, a lot more effort. And at the time that we were entering high school, it's kind of like we were probably would have grown out of the content anyway. But regardless, they started putting out these like three cam laugh track comedies, like Zach and Cody,
Hannah Montana.
I mean, shit, you just can't even sit through. Like, not to put it down, but to put it down, I mean, that's just the quality that was coming out. And it's like, that's why I keep returning to movies like Hocus Pocus.
Yeah.
Movies that are other Disney Channel originals we grew up with. Mm-hmm. I've seen a couple of Disney Channel originals in the past few years that are not too bad. I didn't mind Girl vs. Monster. Did you ever see that?
I don't think I've heard of that.
It's very cute. It was on Netflix. I don't know if it still is. Adorable. It would probably be pretty good for something of our time. You know, it reminds me of like Scream Team or something like that. You know, it's okay. My Babysitter the Vampire, whatever the one you told me.
Did I tell you about that one?
And I was like, it looks bad. And you were like, just check it out. And I actually really enjoyed it.
Oh my God, did I really?
Yeah. You were like, just give it a try. And I was like, okay, that's actually so cute.
That's so funny you bring that up, because I recently just noticed that was on Netflix too. And I was like, I remember this movie. Had no idea that I told you to watch it.
Yeah.
But I was like, you know what's funny? So I watched some of it. You know what's fucking hilarious about that movie? They're straight up parodying the whole Twilight thing.
Totally. And I loved that. Because they could have done their own Twilight. But instead they were like, let's do a super self-aware,
and
like,
for
parody.
Disney to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, and to actually do it, like, kind of well. And it's pretty funny. I found myself, like, actually laughing.
Yeah. It was cute.
I was like, what the hell? This is actually hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, for...
I didn't mind it. I actually was kind of impressed by it, too. But, you know, those, I would say... are kind of the exception.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff that comes out on Disney now, I mean, I just can't. It's hard.
Yeah, and I was very conscious of that, like, watching this, and I was like, you know, like I said, Allison in particular, she's the hot girl or, like, whatever, but you know what? She's, even today, she's fucking cool. Like,
yeah.
Like, she's by no means, like, over the top, like, you know the acting style or whatever, like,
she
I'm
plays it
about.
Very realistically.
Like, you take her really seriously.
She's actually a great character, because she, as Allison, she kind of, like, she knows she's a catch. She knows this guy likes her. And she probably kind of likes him, but, you know, she's not going to be easy or whatever. And I think at the same time, given that they're in this adventure together, she's actually kind of a fighter, too.
Oh, she totally is.
Yeah. And I thought that was kind of neat, because she comes from this high-end background. You know, they go to her house, and it's, like, the ultimate party.
God, we gotta talk about this party.
Just
really quickly.
Yes.
Basically, like, the classy party at Allison's house with the 1700s masquerade thing going on, and I literally wrote down goals.
Such goals. Oh. It's like Martha Stewart level goals.
Yeah, like to have like such a classy party like that on Halloween, where like you're not, it's not like.
It felt very like, let's create
so
Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah. Like, it's literally a background element.
Yeah.
But it's like.
And the level of like attention put into that scene just for the costumes and the decor. I mean, there's
so
much
attention
to detail.
And you get immediately what kind of people they are or whatever. And I just love it. She's like, oh. It's my parents' thing.
Yeah.
They do this every year.
She just looks so over it. She's like, whatever. And, like, of course, I love that Danny and, Danny and Max are, like, totally blown away. Even when they first approach her house, like,
they
shot. They're just
jackpot.
Like, oh. Yeah, jackpot. And I love Danny's responses. The little girl going, rich people. Like, she's so in tune. She's very in tune as a young child. I mean, when they bring back the witches and they kind of scare her and frighten her into, like, she's the one who pops out first.
Yeah.
She takes it upon herself to fucking improvise.
Right.
And she's like, it was me. Like,
yeah.
That's a very strong kid.
Yeah, going along with what I was saying about, like, the cast, like, overall. Mm-hmm. Thora Byrd, obviously. She's another great example of, like,
amazing.
She's a kid, you know, like, a lead actor in this movie who happens to be a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Could so easily like, be annoying and, like, right. over the top, the kind of acting we're talking about. Ugh. But, like, you take her so seriously.
Yeah.
Yes, she screams and, like, and, she's you know, freaks out a lot in different, in various scenes. But, like, yeah. it's always, like, accurate.
Mm-hmm. To, she's always mm-hmm. had that realistic, I mean, that, I don't know, it's like a rawness or something. Mm-hmm. Like, and you watch her in Now and Then, mm-hmm. she captures that kid so well. She knows the complexities of a rich kid yeah. that's struggling and has no one really there for yeah. them. And then in this film, she's younger, she's a little brattier, but you still have a lot of heart for her. You still totally. Have a lot of sympathy yeah. or empathy for, like, their situation. You don't, you're not annoyed by her. Even that annoying yeah. part where she tattles on him and she's like, Mom, you know, like,
yeah.
she could have been, like, horrible throughout the whole thing, but they perfectly cast her because so true. In the whole thing, obviously, there's a parallel between Thackeray Binks' experience with Emily mm-hmm. Binks and him losing his sister mm-hmm. because he couldn't protect her, and Max realizing he's in the situation 300 years later, hoping to protect his little sister from the witches, like, you have to want her to be okay.
Yeah.
If she were annoying, we would just want her to be dead. Right. We'd be lost interest. We'd be done. But I think they got the perfect mm-hmm. kid.
And she very, like, holds her own yes. next to two much old, like, teenage, you know, I guess.
Yeah.
Older, like, lead yeah. actors. Like, she totally holds her own.
Her,
like,
delivery is great. Them. Yeah, she's
and
incredible.
And fucking Bette Midler and all these, you know. Like, she totally, it's major. She's amazing.
Yeah. It's so, such a big deal. I mean. Her,
yeah, I was, like, I, like, listened to a couple, or watched a couple interviews, and, like, anytime someone talks about Thora Birch in that movie, they're, like, she was basically, like, 10 going on 40.
Yeah.
Like, she was so, like, beyond her years,
mm-hmm.
and,
you get that from her. She's, like, yeah. an old soul, you mm-hmm. know, and you, I feel like, especially if you ever watch American Beauty, same kind of thing. Mm-hmm. There's something, there's so much depth to her, and how she, what she puts in her character work, and mm-hmm. I think, just at that young age, for this to be such a huge role and big shoes to fill for her, she rocked it.
Totally.
Let's talk about Jay and Ernie, a.k.a. Ice, our favorite people ever.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God.
You are the Jay to my Ernie, by the way. Well, always you. And forever.
Yes. Love them.
They
I love,
are
I think
iconic.
I even wrote down, like, in that scene where I think it's the first time you see them, when they...
They literally pop out of behind a grave. Can we talk about what were they doing behind a grave where they popped out, like the ghosts in Haunted Mansion pop out behind graves? Where did that... Why? Exactly. I don't know. But I love that they did that.
Because they're those kinds of cool 90s kids who yes. just hang out in cemeteries. Like, what did you do before, like, cell
That's what
phones?
You did in high school in the 90s in small towns. You hung out in graveyards.
They're so great, though. Oh, my God.
Yes.
I literally wrote down something that I think Ice says.
Yes. Go for
they're
it.
They're making fun of him yet again. Like, I think, like 90% of their lines are, like, making fun of Max for being from
yes,
L.A.
Yes, I know.
Is that, like, your only, like, your only dig on this person?
Right? It's like, are you just, you're just jealous. Let's be you're just jealous. I mean, in reality, I'm here because I would like to switch places with Max.
Right?
I'm going to come back to L.A., be my boo. I'm going to take your spot in Salem, but whatever. Whatever, Max.
I wrote down a line. I think it's because they're like, so let's have a bud. And he's like, no, thanks, I don't smoke.
Yeah.
I could quote this whole thing, I swear to God.
Right?
But I wrote
like
down.
Fucking jam.
Ice goes, they're very health conscious in Los Angeles. And then. I just love that because now that I live in LA and just this from being, God, how many, what, 25 years ago now?
Right.
I don't know. I loved that. I had to write that down.
Yes. It's so true. I know it's silly, but like, and this is you included, Lily. Everyone I know that it's, you move to L.A. and you come back vegetarian or you come back gluten-free or you come back and you got some kind of dietary restriction. It's ridiculous. I don't know. But it's true. It's fact. I love it.
No, it is true.
It's so great.
I admit it.
Jay's laugh is it's amazing.
I love it. They like...
Just want to hang out with those men.
Him in particular. Like, yes. They got so into character.
Oh, my God.
Like, I love it.
You know what I love about both of them? And every scene with both of them is they do a lot of pantomime. Mm-hmm. And it's yeah. again, it's that Kenny Ortega, like, choreographer yeah. being yeah. the director.
Right.
And the scenes where they're making fun of Danny and Max, where they're like, oh, you're doing some trick or cheating. Woo! And then they do, like, this entire, they do fucking scene work in front of everybody. And the other kids so are cool stupid. With it. Yeah. No other, like,
kid. Oh, no, I think what it is like, she goes, like, for your information,
he's a little leaguer.
And then they're like, what?
So we, like,
so stupid.
They do all this fucking stage work.
Literally, like, the worst, most goofy, unintimidating bullies.
They do space work. Like, it kills me. I don't know. Every year, like, I guess having done as much improv as I've done, it just kills me. Like, it's so good and so goofy. And it adds to the campiness. And I appreciate definitely. It because I feel like in any other movie directed by anybody else, they're just going to be bullies. And there's something so much more fun about seeing these guys take it to such a level of, like, let's get theatrical with our bullying. Like, it just could have been so much worse. I don't know. It's one of my favorite little
Me too.
Tidbits in the Me movie. Me too.
I actually, and you know what, something like, I like, it's another thing I like wrote down because I was like, what? Like, when I was watching this?
Mm-hmm.
Why? It, towards the end, sort of,
mm-hmm.
like, why is it that, so they, like, insult the Sanderson yes. sisters or whatever, and then the next thing you know, they're, like, in cages in their house?
Yeah.
I was like, why are they there?
Disney has a great way, I've noticed this, especially, and this is a writing thing, they have a great way of going, forget about the how and just show the what. You want them to end up here, just cut to it. This fucking cuts
you. You want that visual of yeah. these two bullies that we've, like, that have been tormenting our protagonists the whole time. Yeah. You want that visual of them sitting in these, like, cages. So it doesn't matter how we get there or why.
Just cut to it. Just cut to it. Yeah. There's no how to be had. We don't know.
I don't
there's
know.
Three
I
was witches.
Like, what's the point? Because if anything, you're thinking they can use them for their...
I know.
Their youth or, like, whatever, which...
Yes.
And then I was like, okay, well, maybe they're too old, but then...
No, but she says...
And then Winifred ends up, like...
Because Sarah's sucking. Like, and we have children, and there's more coming. And yeah. But Winifred is so pissed, gonna... because I remember thinking about this when I watched it last night. They capture Danny. Remember when they sneak up into the house, they capture, they blow off the roof of the house, yeah, yeah. and it's this great yeah. epic, like, I was concerned. I'm like, over here, like, how are we going to reconstruct the roof of this gorgeous house? I think about these things, like, it concerns me. And they take her away, they bring her back to their house, she's tied up, and they're trying to get her to drink the potion, and I think that's when Max comes to save her and they do the fake daylight savings thing.
Yeah.
And she calls her ugly. She says something like, you're ugly. You're yeah. never going to look young and beautiful or yeah. whatever. And just because of that, Winifred gets so, like, determined to go, I want that little
right,
girl.
Right,
I'm yeah. going to get her.
And she makes a point of bringing it up later, yeah. too. And she, like, captures like, she her and takes her ugly. On her broom. She's like, this will teach you to call people ugly.
Yeah. yeah. And, I mean, as a kid, there's something, a little lesson there, you know? You don't know people. You shouldn't be calling people ugly. You don't know their circumstances. They can't fucking help it. And I think that was kind of a neat thing, because that was clearly, like, Winifred taking it so personally, and that was her weakness of just going, like, I have all the children of Salem in front of me, mm-hmm. but I'm gonna make it complicated, risk everything, and go after this little girl
yeah.
that annoyed me instead.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought it was interesting. It's like, again, one of those things I don't think about until I rewatch it when yeah. I sit down every
no,
year.
Totally.
I love that every parent in town, by the way, oh my is God. At town
that,
hall.
That too, I was like, I've kind of always thought that, or at least once I became, like,
yes.
I got old enough to try to, like, apply logic to yeah. some of these things.
Yeah.
It's like, I love that that's the out. The reason that, like, all of the children... can, like,
well, all the parents are at the town hall party.
Every single parent in Salem is at this fucking town hall party.
Do you think the invite said parent party? Salem parent party? Come to RSVP? I don't know.
I love it. Only parents are so excited. Goofy. But by the way, that scene is, like, kind of kick-ass.
It's amazing.
Like, I love it. And, oh my gosh. You look around at all the different costumes. Like, if you're just looking at that, it's like, oh, no, this is actually pretty fun.
Yeah,
like,
that's what I'm talking about. They take it to 100 with the Atma, yeah, with the aesthetic, yeah, with the
band,
everything.
Like, with the skeleton, like, face and, like, that.
Completely. They were incredible. Because, first of all, they were, like, consistent. Like, you knew that they were, like, all the band. And their makeup's on point. And their costumes are all, like, they were, like, Puritans, and some of them were in top hats, and stuff. And so they were like Puritans with like cobwebs on them.
Oh, cool!
So it was like they were sort of like dead Puritans. Like it was great. I thought it worked perfectly.
Yeah,
I love all the different costumes that you see in that scene, and I love that when the Sanderson sisters walk in and Billy Butcherson walks in, that they are not even blown away. They're just like, oh, more people at the party. Yeah. And I love the parents. There's just something really hilarious. There's some like. There's obviously stuff that I guess probably wouldn't be in Disney movies today, like all the virgin references.
Oh, God, that, yeah.
Anything, like, kind of sexual, like the mom being Madonna, like, weirding the kids out because it's like, oh, mom, Jesus. Like, you know, I feel like you probably wouldn't have that so much, you know. But I liked it. I thought there was a hilarity to that.
Mm-hmm.
Love Charlie Rocket. This is the dad. Oh, my God. Dad Kula. Dad Kula is my favorite.
Yeah.
Yes. So, great couple's costume, by the way. The Madonna and the Dad Kula. Do it, do it, do it. First of all, Bette Midler fucking kills.
Okay.
She Let's kills talk about it. Bette. Let's talk about Bette.
One of the first things I like, as you can tell, I'm a note-taking person by how many times I've mentioned it so far.
Yes.
But one of the first things I wrote down was just like, Bette Midler equals Norma Desmond.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I think I've had that thought before, but especially this time watching it, I just, like, couldn't fucking ignore it.
Yeah.
Like, that had to have been an obvious inspiration. Like, I couldn't ignore it. It's, like, especially the whole, what is she chasing? Youth. Like, eternal youth.
Right.
You know? And she's just so campy and over the top. And the whole, you know, her one iconic line, what a another glorious morning.
Yeah.
Makes me sick.
Right.
Or just anytime she's like hyper dramatic like that. That was immediately what I thought of. This time really paying attention to her performance. Mm-hmm. I was like, we don't deserve Bette Midler in this role as children. Like watching it, like you're never.
You won't appreciate it until you're older.
Yeah, you don't appreciate it. It's like, oh my God, she's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
She's like clearly having a blast and just running with this.
She said it's her favorite role.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she has said, like, it's my absolute, I would do it again and again and again.
Sarah Jessica Parker, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm like, is this the last, like, maybe only question mark? I'm probably wrong, but, like, real, like, character, like, out there that she's done?
Yeah, honestly, in terms of something very unique or, like, very, maybe.
Because then Carrie Bradshaw for fucking forever. Right after this, right?
Yeah.
Well, kind of.
You know what's funny? They were both in First Wives Club. Not Kathy Najimy, but Bette Midler and Sarah Jessica Parker. And they were both great in it. But it's funny to see them together in that film and it be this super awkward thing. And then you see them in this and you're like, oh, there's kind of like still some layers of similarity there.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't know. But yeah.
Well, she's great. Like,
she's very cool. I wish she had done more.
Me too. It made me
character actor roles.
Yeah, it's like I think that she. What was it? Ed Wood. Is that the only Tim Burton movie that she's done or something? But like, and I can't quite remember like too much of her character. But like, watching this again, and I was like, oh man, she could have totally like been in like Tim Burton movies, Tim Burton movies as like some.
I would have
crazy
liked
character.
To have seen that. She fell into the ingenue plot like. Pot, if you will, but it's just like, which is great. Obviously, Carrie Bradshaw is iconic, but I don't know. She has the talent clearly to have done even more. So I would have liked to have seen.
She's
that.
Great, and she also just looks like she's having a great time.
Oh, I know.
And
that's the fun thing about this movie. Those witches have the best fucking time. You want to be them. You want to be with them, even though they're eating children or sucking the lives out of little children. You still love the shit out of them because they're just enjoying themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It was clearly a great time. And Kenny Ortega was obviously inspirational and, you know, very cool to work with. What a fun experience.
Mm-hmm. Have you noticed Sarah Jessica Parker's wig continuity
yeah.
is crazy.
It's totally out of whack. I think it had to be possibly intentional, but it, because it looks like consistently in the movie, it goes from very curly, like almost
wavy, almost like perm, natural-ish,
to then like, of. Yeah, then it, like, the curl fades, like.
Then it just gets, like, straight.
Almost and, straight like, with, like, little bits.
The ends are, like, nicely
like
curled.
A blowout.
And she has braids. She'll have, yeah. She has little mini braids.
Yeah.
And then it'll go from that, and then it'll go back to just her super wavy, curly
it's just kind of
with no braids.
Totally out of whack.
So many times.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck? Have I noticed this before?
No, I've noticed it every year my whole life. I've always been like,
oh,
what's
have?
Up with her hair? Yeah, I've never...
I honestly can't remember if I had noticed that before.
I never understood it. I don't know. I've always thought that it kind of progressively got, like almost like the curl got dampened over the course of the night, but I wasn't sure if that was intentional or...
But it, like, it's...
It's weird.
It's not even that. It's like straight up two different hairstyles.
Yeah.
Like two totally
super curly
different,
to like basically
to like
straight.
Kind of, it's like basically straight, a little more polished with like those little mini braids
yeah.
throughout. And like
it's very
it's
weird.
So weird. Like who the fuck was keeping track of this?
I don't know. Like, I don't. That had to be a thing. I have no idea. I wish I could talk to someone on set and be like, please solve this mystery. I don't know. It's just so odd.
I enjoyed it. I was giggling to myself.
Yeah. Mary's hair is funny because I always thought it was just. Like a brown, like weird updo thing, but over the years I've noticed how it actually is like a twisted thing that curves
yeah,
off to
that
the
like
side.
Yeah, that like goes off to the side.
It's
yeah.
so weird, and it's got purple in it.
Yeah,
she like just naturally,
which
has
is
purple.
Also kind of like not totally noticeable at all
yeah.
in some scenes. And some so, scenes it is
so weird. Yeah, yeah, I don't know. It's just wacky. She's great in it too. Talk about a good character
oh,
actor.
Yeah.
She's
so great.
So good. I just watched Rat Race and I just watched Scream
right.
Team.
Oh.
I freaking love her in
oh
both those
god.
Movies. Like,
yeah.
Oh my god. And she's Persian, so she's my
okay,
girl.
Okay.
Yeah, she's my boo. But I adore her. She's incredible.
Me too. Me
I too. Also love, well, I mean, I love every fucking scene in this movie, so. One scene that always makes me giggle is the bus scene. There's just something great about the bus driver totally being, like, all he cares about is getting chicks, and so he's playing along with their weird, what he thinks is a game.
Yeah.
I don't know. May take me a couple tries, but...
What is he saying? Bubble, bubble.
Well, I'm in trouble.
Jesus.
And he finds them all hot. I love it. I want to know more about this man.
You girls are giving me a fever.
Yow.
Jesus. Actually, so this kind of brings me to something that I was like, once the end of the movie came, I was like, hold on. I like got a little confused.
Yeah.
It's probably simple.
Yeah.
But maybe you can clear it up for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember, like, where the fuck is Billy throughout this whole thing? Because it goes from... towards the beginning, they like corner them in the cemetery, and that's
mm-hmm.
where they find out they can't walk in the cemetery or whatever. They
right.
can't stand on the hollow ground. Or
yeah,
whatever. And that's when Winifred kind of awakens Billy and brings
right.
him up from the grave, and then they fly away because they're
mm-hmm.
I don't know because they're like okay, we'll get you next time.
Yeah.
Whatever.
They got away.
Billy
oh, because the kids go, because Binks leads them into the sewers.
Yeah.
So
then
they escape through the sewers.
After that.
He goes, so
he's
trying to, he follows them. And he goes into the sewers and he's doing his whole,
what?
You know, Doug Jones is a professional mime, you guys.
Fucking Doug Jones. We haven't even talked about Doug Jones yet.
Doug Jones, greatest human being. you know him. If you think you don't know him, you're wrong. You know this man. His whole career has been in makeup. He's an extremely talented physical actor. He is, like, graduated from mime school. Like, literally, he's
yeah.
a mime, a professional mime. So he uses his physical talents and basically, he's been in
Pan's Labyrinth,
Hellboy. I mean, you name it.
The
he
Shape
was
of
in
Water.
Shape of Water, yes. He
yeah.
tons of films where you have a creature that needs sort of bringing to life. I mean, he will do that.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, Billy Butcherson is no exception. I actually love Billy because I had a weird, like, fear of decapitation. Like, not like
right.
it's going to happen
yeah.
to me, but as a kid, like, that really, like, that concept was so creepy to
mm-hmm.
me. And I don't know I think because I saw Zorro at a young age and they cut off a guy's head in it, and that fucked me up. I was like, this is not okay. I didn't know people could do this to people. Like, it was very disturbed.
Wow.
Yeah, nightmares, the whole thing.
Dang.
And then when I saw this movie, that made it funny.
Wow.
So this helped me get over that. Wow. And him being very funny helped me get over that stupid, you know, fear or whatever. And so he does his whole I'm following them under the sewer, and he does it.
Is he just, like, at that point just hanging out with them? He's like, I guess I'll go with you guys kind of thing?
He follows them because he's under their spell. He has to follow them. So she awakens him, like, you're going to, because we can't touch the ground.
Yeah.
But you can't. Remember, Binks says, well, they can't get us. And then Thora Birch says, I don't like how you said that. And that's when Winnie, like, basically erects him from the grave to come after them because he can chase them. But the thing is, he's sort of, like, just doing it because he's under their spell and has
to. Yeah.
And when he catches up with them, because remember, he goes into the sewer, then he follows them into the party, a town hall, where all the parents are. And then further follows them.
And then they get away from him?
Yeah, he must have been lost. I don't know, really, but he meets up with them in the cemetery. And when he does, he grabs Max. But instead of being against him, he's like, okay, fine, I got him. Like, that was the spell. Yeah. It's like, I got you.
Right.
But I don't have to follow your... What else am I going to do? You know, so that's when he uses the pocket knife to cut his mouth open. They use real moths. So fucked up.
Amazing.
This man is a golden god.
No, he really is. That whole scene where she, like, brings him up from his grave, mm-hmm. and then whatever the few minutes that followed after that, I think I totally wasn't paying attention this time around. Uh-huh. That I was like, and so then once it came towards the end,
mm-hmm.
where they had the final showdown, I guess, if you will, I was like, what the was he there this whole time? I was like trying to remember.
Yeah, he's there when they get back to the cemetery, mm-hmm. But for the longest time, he's not around.
He's just kind of...
He's in the cemetery when the witches are driving the bus.
No, he's in, the manhole, and his fingers get chopped
off. Yeah, it's so sad.
Which I'm sure they're back later on.
Yeah. I know. I don't think that... I probably wasn't consistent. How can you erase his hands or his fingers, right? You
can't have Sarah Jessica Parker's wig be the same throughout the whole movie. I'm sure that they're not going to...
And then there's times when her boobs are more out and times when her boobs are more flat. Like, what kind of boobies do you want to have? The whole... Come Little Children is so sexual.
I know.
Why is it so sexual?
She's feeling herself.
She's very, very
loving
excited.
It. Yeah. She's so into that. That's what, like,
she's proud of her sexuality.
Right.
Even though she's learning children.
That moment in particular, I remember, like, watching, and I was like, this time around, watching, and I was like, that's when I had this thought that I was saying to you earlier. I'm like, why didn't she do more of this stuff? She's clearly, like, enjoying it, and she's good at it.
I know. I think she would have been great for it.
Mm-hmm.
She probably just got that Sex and the City deal and was like, duh.
Yeah. So I do love, like, any possible chance they get to give her, like, a line that's like, boy.
I know. She's so boy hungry. There is no one thirstier than Sarah Sanderson, everybody. Oh, my God. It's like, she's ready. She wants you. I love when, like, even when Winnie is, like, bullying these boys with her, like, electric powers, like, you there. Like, she's tossing them around and pushing them up onto the ceiling. Like, she's, like, touching them and trying to play with them. She's, like, so eager. She's so hungry. I love her. Every girl loves her. Every girl kind of wants to be her. It's so funny. But I also think Mary is such a hilarious witch that gets so overlooked because she's kind of just, like, the goofy one.
Mm-hmm.
But she's kind of a great character because she's trying really hard to, like, find kids. They both have their strengths. Like, Sarah lures the kids, but Mary will sniff them out, weird.
Exactly.
It's just so funny.
I know. She, like, one thing that always gets me is when they wander into Gary Marshall's house. Which is just hilarious in itself. But when she's sitting and watching, like, the TV and there's that commercial with the baby or whatever, and she just goes,
she just screams.
screams at, like it's just so like a good. Child or something. I know. Just like
she gets so excited. It's like hilarious. It's kind of human. And she's like
grabbing at the screen.
Yeah, and then she tries to turn off Penny Marshall with the remote. Is because she's gotten okay. This changes things. So maybe I could use it. She thinks it's a magic wand. She's like, I could use this shit on somebody. And so sure enough, she tries it and it doesn't work.
Love that whole
that sequence is incredible.
Oh my god, that's like what you're talking about earlier, just like as you're getting older and like you're all of a sudden we're identifying more with like the adults in these kinds of movies.
Yes.
And just like the way that she and Gary Marshall are like talking to each other like when the witches first come in, and she's so fucking pissed off.
Pissy couple, like just she you get the feeling that Gary Marshall does this, that he brings in neighbors and he's the type of neighbor that goes outside, takes his trash out, and have a full-on fucking conversation with his neighbor, and she's fucking not. She's like, no.
She's like sitting there with her drink and her like cheese puff.
She wants her Cheetos and her fucking stories on TV. She does not want neighbors. She doesn't want people. And he's like, come on over. We'll have a barbecue. Yeah. Like, he is like...
He's got the full spread outside his house for Halloween.
Yeah. He's like, into it. She's like in her bathrobe. Yeah. There's
so fucking funny.
There's actually, so much to be established without having to say. Like, it's so great.
I was getting such a kick out of that whole thing. I like... was like paying attention to every line, and there was like one line that I rewound a couple times because I like wanted to hear what she was saying when she comes down the stairs and then she finds like him and Jessica Parker.
She's like, all right,
dancing. Yeah, she says something before that, and I was like, what is she saying? And she goes before she like gets a good look at them.
Yeah,
and she's like, Gary, I checked the scale. I lost 5 pounds. And then she like, but it's like really like under her breath, like you don't really hear it. But I was like, I kept rewinding. And then she was like, then she turns on the lights and sees them. I don't know, it's just so funny.
Oh, bless her heart. Yeah. That's so great. Oh my God. Oh my God. That's so funny.
Because that's the kind of stuff. Take your clock, boss.
Get the hell out of here. Oh, I love when she says, because they call me master. She's like, wait till you see what I'm going to call you.
Exactly.
It's just so great. It's like your classic like East Coast couple. Just like on point. Oh my God. Scenes like that in this movie that just heighten everything. You know, they like could have put them in different settings with different people. But
and
they,
they're so tiny. But like they
They
so
heighten all the silliness of putting these 300-year-old witches into modern Salem.
Right.
It's so great. It's just beyond funny.
It's all the little touches. There's that in, like, what we were talking about earlier with, like, Allison's, the party at her house. Like, it's a background thing, but it still adds to it.
Yeah. And,
like,
this is one of those, again, those things you don't notice until you're older for some reason. But for years, I'm talking, like, way too long, I never realized that she hands Max, that Allison hands Max his own number back.
When, really?
Yes. I mean, like, when I was a kid, I probably just didn't read it, as I was a very slow reader, so I probably couldn't read it fast enough to realize, like, that it was his own phone number that she, like, handed to him, but I don't know why that is, that I just never...
What did you think it was?
I think I thought it was her number, because I could see it was a phone number, I just thought it was her, but I don't know why I didn't pick that up, but, like, obviously years ago I did, and I was like... Oh, that was bitchy of her. Like, why did she do that? Like, I don't know. I don't know. It was just so, I was like, why?
That's so funny.
I don't know why she did. She's just playing hard to get.
Actually, now that you bring that up, like, when she, like, walks away, isn't that that shot where, like, she hands him back his number and she, like, flips her hair and walks away?
I know. She puts her little hoodie on. She's like, I got a little red hood. That's what I was going to
say. Like, you see her in the distance and she, like, puts up, like, a hood. Mm-hmm. And that hood is vaguely, like, witch. Like,
yeah.
Which is, like, a little detail, but, like, and then there's, like, all the fall, like, trees, like, around her and everything. Beautiful. And just, like, that, like, visual, like, such a tiny little thing, but it's, like...
It's a very perfectly... I always tell Patty, I tell everybody, I love that scene in particular because it's just, again, so choreographed so well, you know? It's just... You have all these little high school tropes, the cheerleader here, the baseball player here with his ball that, you know, he's, like, playing with that. And then, like, it's just the pan is so perfect. And he comes by and talks to her. And then, like you said, like, the hood goes on. And it's, like, the witches in this don't wear hats. They wear the hoods. So I do think there was some parallel there to be, like, you need to be open to the things that can come ahead. Yeah. And, yeah. you know, there, maybe there's a mysticism in front of you that you should mm-hmm. possibly be open to or something. There's yeah. a, I think there's a parallel there on purpose. This is a very distinct.
I think so too. No, totally.
Outfit. Yeah.
Totally. And I mean, given the scene like previous, which I'm sorry, is so fucking funny in the classroom. Classroom. Like, I always think back to like, watching that scene with you and just like laughing when she like
we always giggle.
She's like, because like Max is like shutting down the concept of Halloween.
I know,
like,
he's like, the candy company. Yeah,
and then Allison comes back at him with like, "They're your information."
Yeah,
Halloween is the one night of the year where the spirits of the dead return back to Earth, and then everyone's like,
"That's the
yeah, everyone's like, whoa, and they're high-fiving her, like,
this is why I need
down.
To live in this
like,
town."
Fucking so late.
Yeah. Okay. I don't think any teenagers would, like, get like that. I mean, small town pride, I don't know. I don't know. Sure. Maybe. But I just love that everyone just, like, loses
like
their shit.
It's not even
two.
A diss or anything. It's just, like yeah. she said, it's just, like, okay, you're cool, I guess.
Yeah. And then I love when the teacher, like, I love the teacher so much.
That's she, you, Nina, in the future.
That is so me. I will, if that is not me, then I lose the bet of life. Because that is for sure going to be me. I cannot wait to terrify children and, like, tell spooky stories and decorate
dress
my
up like
classroom.
A witch.
Yes! Yeah. I love her. She is my boo. And I love when she gets annoyed when he's like, all these black cats and stuff. She's like, stuff,
and everyone's like, boo.
Everyone's like,
it's almost so over the top. Oh my
I
God.
Know. I just want that classroom to be yeah. with me at all times when I'm like Halloween shopping. I'm just like, I want people cheering me on for Halloween all the time. That's all I ever wanted.
God. There's that so one good. Random ass kid who's like the only other
Thank
like
you.
Teenage like before he
when Where he, does
like,
he go?
He tries to ask Allison out. And everyone's like, ooh. And then that rando kid is like, hey, Max.
Fat chance.
It's so fucking random.
I wonder, there had to be deleted scenes with Maybe. This guy. I don't know, but I was always like, where did this boy go? Why don't we see more of him? Maybe he could have helped out later as
maybe
like a
they,
sidekick.
Like, I don't know. Maybe they wrote it that way where no one, like, he just hands her his number and then everyone like
maybe they wanted to heighten
whatever.
How impossible
and they were like we have to like yeah
how maybe desirable was, she is maybe. I think it's obvious she's gorgeous so I'm not sure why they had to be like oh she's very much
why do you have
desired.
To make a point to, yeah. to have some random kid like
I don't maybe it was like the producer's kid and they're like okay fine we'll fucking give you a line Toby just fucking stop asking me Toby. I don't know They just have God. To do these things.
It's hilarious to me because I feel like you and I have like always these tiny insignificant things that we're like pointing out and laughing our asses off about. We've done this for years, but it's like, I'm like, fuck, is there literally anybody else who like looks into these things in this movie like as much as we have?
I don't think so. I think most people probably just look at them and, don't notice half of the stupid stuff that we pick on and look at very, very in-depth.
We're talking about the fat chance kid. Like, we're literally having a discussion about him. I hope in the credits
he deserves just... so much credit. He deserves his own spinoff. I want to see an adventure with him and some fat vampires or something. Just give that boy his own movie.
My God. One member of the cast that we've, like, failed to mention is his name? Jason Marsden? The
yes.
voice of Binks.
I know. Who, they were just like, sorry, regular Binks, you're yeah. just not, your voice
also,
sucks.
Also, like, I guess that means his, the actual guy, Sean Murray, I wrote down his name, mm-hmm. who plays the human version of Binks that we mm-hmm. see in the beginning and then again at the end. I guess did they ADR his lines then to be James Marsden, sorry, Jason Marsden's voice?
I don't think voice? They did. I think they have.
Really?
Which is weird. Because... why does he need to have a different voice? I mean, no, like, I totally get James Marsden is a very good vocal actor. He's a great guy. I don't know why he couldn't just either do what, like, pick one or the other. It does seem odd to me. And I don't know what's
yeah.
wrong with Sean Murray's voice.
He, yeah.
And why they couldn't just have him continue to do the voice. Maybe they were
well,
scheduling.
Well, I think he is, his, I mean, his voice is perfect, I think, for the character.
Mm-hmm.
But... I think if anything, like why couldn't he play the human version
yeah.
of him?
I don't know. I don't see why not either, because it seems like maybe they wanted just, like, this pretty boy or something.
Maybe.
But, like, you don't really see him ever, except for when he see-through in the end. So.
Yeah. And in the beginning, I guess. I know,
yeah,
in
the beginning.
Yeah.
I don't know. Honestly, I even thought when I was younger, and I know just given we could look this stuff up on IMDb, I actually wondered if they even had a different guy from the beginning and then a different guy at the end.
I remember this. I literally, that's another, like,
because they look different.
I wrote this down. I was like, didn't Nina used to think that it was two different actors?
My old theory.
It's not.
I was wrong.
But I remember you telling me that, and I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I was like, they look different, Lily. Look at their eyes. Look at the shapes of their eyes.
I was definitely the same actor. Why would they do that?
I was very stubbornly, I believed in my false bullshit. We're going to call it what it is. And I was wrong. It's okay. You got to admit when you're wrong. I was. IMDb proved me wrong. So, you know what? Fuck it. Apparently, there's 2-3 Binkses. It doesn't matter. It doesn't fucking matter. I have a question for you. What did you think about the random scene with the cop? Where they try, after all these things are happening, to go to a cop, of all people, and be like, hey man, we brought witches back from the... I mean, they're just so desperate, I guess. They go to the town hall parent party, too, so there's that. But they definitely go to a so-called Salem police officer and tell them what happened, and he just, like, grills them and makes them feel like shit, and he's super... He's just shitty to them, and then they get scared and they leave, but then his, like... whore-looking girlfriend comes out of the liquor store.
I thought that, too. I was like, is she, like, coming out of, like, is she, like,
she looks like a whore.
Straight up thought she was coming out of a strip club, and then I saw she was, like, holding...
It's all the
holding,
cheetah,
like,
print.
A bottle, and it was like,
it's,
oh,
the cheetah print.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the cheetah print. Girls.
She's like, what's so funny?
Yeah, what's so funny, honey? And he was like...
kids thought it was a cop.
And it's just like... why did this scene happen?
I know. I think if anything,
I guess
if we're really gonna try to, like,
rule out the cops, that's what it was.
That's exactly.
Yeah.
They were like, it prevented them from trying to, like,
get help.
Go to the police again. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they couldn't get help from the parents either because the parents were just laughing. They were like,
and then they were like under the spell.
Under the best spell, the dance to Bette Midler all night spell until 5 in the morning.
That whole number.
Oh my god, it's so good. Every year I get into it.
I almost started tearing up this time.
Right?
Like, watching it, because it's like, now
so
I was
epic.
Like, I was watching this with, like, a critical, you know, eye, I guess. As critical as you could get about this movie.
Yeah. It's just fun. It's pure
this
fun.
This time around, and I was just like, oh my god, like, she's so fucking amazing. And it just made me realize, I was like,
she kills
watch
it.
This 1,000 times. I grew up with this movie on repeat. But it's like, it's just funny, like you don't really learn to, like, really appreciate talent like that until you're much older.
Oh my god. No, she brings it. They have this obviously amazingly choreographed, amazingly directed scene where the, you know, witches get together and sing I Got a Spell on You. And if you've ever heard the original version, it ain't like that.
Right.
It's Screamin' Jay Hawkins. So it's a totally different thing completely, which is still actually a great Halloween song because it's kind of spooky and bizarre.
Yeah.
We'll post it. It's great. But their version is a very fun, upbeat version that obviously at this point is enjoyed by many. And the scene is just so fun. I just love that they get up there and do that. And the band is playing for them. And all the parents are under the spell. Like, it's just great. It's the party you want to go to, even though it's like kind of a curse. It's like, I still would want to be there, you know?
Totally.
Would you rather go to Allison's family classy party, or would you rather go to the wild town hall parent party?
Damn.
That is the ultimate question. That is the ultimate hocus pocus question. It defines your character. Who are you?
You know, I don't know. I think if anything, I think I would want to attend the town hall party, but I would want to be the one throwing the classy, 17th century masquerade party. I would want to be the one hosting that.
Yeah,
maybe.
That would be an easier cleanup. I understand. As someone who's hosted many a time, that would be an easier cleanup. You'd probably have some staff to help you out with that one. Yeah, the butlers had gloves in that party, so
just for that exterior shot. You could have shot that anywhere.
Like, so beautiful.
But, like, the fact that they, like, shot it in front of an actual historical home mm-hmm. like that, and actually it's supposed to be, like, haunted or, like, whatever. Oh, like, it just adds that much more.
They did good. I mean, they did well, but they did good, too, in this movie. And they really invested well in where they put their efforts. I mm-hmm. watched that clip I think you were talking about with the visual effects. And, you know, it does date itself, but at the same time, like, I will always say this on this podcast, there's something to appreciate about practical effects, and 100%. They're just, their general awesomeness, like, the way they had the witches flying, obviously this incredible wire work, super amazing, and they had different ways of doing that, but I actually liked the puppets stuff, like, I didn't know about that. I was like, I'm sorry, you did what now for those wide shots? And for the wide shots when the witches are flying, they actually created these very, I mean, they were almost like Uncanny Valley, like lifelike puppets, the way they animated or the way they would move them. They were like marionettes, essentially. But they made them look almost exactly like each witch, and they would capture their movements while flying. Mm-hmm. And then they would, like, take that footage and, like, cut and paste and put them into the wide shots where they'd be flying off the roof or whatever.
Right.
It just was really cool. Just that kind of stuff, that extra attention to detail. When you see them making and sculpting these puppets, it's like, okay, sure, that might be seen from afar and, like, who would notice this or that, but, like, there's something to be said for, like, going to those lengths.
No, of course.
It just pays off after 25 plus years. This movie is just, it stands the test of time to me. I know I'm biased. I love it, but I think it's iconic.
Right. And I think we're now, and we probably have been the last, like, I don't know, maybe 10 years, several years. Mm-hmm. Like, we're now at a point where visual effects, like CG, has been around long enough to where we've come to realize, like, oh, fuck. Practical effects, that holds up better than old CGI effects.
Totally. I will always say this. Our minds, our brains are wired to know human movement. If we're seeing a tangible thing moving, we know that's a human movement behind that, not a computer movement. Mm-hmm. There's a huge difference.
We're starting to go back to using a lot more practical effects because, like, you know, it took that much time for us to, like, really learn that.
Yeah.
And so, and that's great.
You know, movies where they're incorporating both, I think do well, or, like, do maybe even better than other films, because I just feel like they meet in the middle somewhere a little bit.
And then only using CG where it's absolutely necessary, honestly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The book. When they get the book. And I always thought it was so funny how they open the book and, like, this shining light comes up and they just can't see it.
I know.
Or something. And then it's just like, oh, the book is open. And they're just like, nothing weird so far. It's like, oh, I guess you can't see.
That's literally a line.
Yeah.
Nothing weird so far. There's a giant orange light, like, ominously, like,
beaming through your face. Okay, girl. Loved it. And then they go after it, and it is a chase of all chases.
This brings me to something that I did think about. Like, you were talking about the ending. How is it that, like, Max is fucking fine?
He's, like, okay.
After
yeah.
the whole...
He drinks that potion, and it just wears off.
Drinks the potion, and she starts sucking the life out of him. Mm-hmm. And as we saw in, like, the first scene of the movie, practically...
They do, like, three,
like,
little...
His sister dies.
Yeah.
From... And so, like, he's fucking totally fine.
He's just a little bigger than her, so he's okay. He'll be fine. It's a body mass type of thing.
No threat there at all, I guess. Yeah. Like,
it is. The whole Emily Binks thing is actually pretty sad. Like, she kind of gets lured away, and then she goes off, and then they suck the fucking life out of her, and then she's just dead in the chair for the longest time. And you just see this little dead girl, like, sitting there. Like, it's sad. Yeah, it's sad.
It's sad. Oh, and then I know now we're, like, back at the start of the movie, but, like, one line I love when they've got, like, the nooses around their necks.
Yes.
The fucking guy, the dad or whatever, he's like, they start singing, and he's like, listen to them not. Like, okay.
All right, I already have.
You could just say, do not listen
to them. I know.
He's so Puritan into it too. That line delivery. I know. He's so like,
dude, I would fucking be yes. Oh my god, yes. Give me that life.
I want to find out if like
I
early
be in that.
If colonial Americans really would like, if that's how they would say such a line.
Yeah, you know what? Just listen like to read them not. Right. The best thing to do is to try and read whatever records there are of the Salem witch trials. There's a couple books that feature a lot of experts of them. Excerpts? There are experts in them too, but there are experts too. I would read one book I would recommend. This one is called The Witches, Salem 1692 by Stacy Schiff. She's very interesting. The book is really great. It's got a lot of mood, and it's a lot of, it really is trying to depict like the essence of what happened. There's another book called Six Women of Salem, The Untold Story of the Accused and Their Accusers in the Salem Witch Trials by Marilyn Roach. Mm-hmm. And she's sometimes featured in Salem documentaries. So she's kind of interesting, very knowledgeable. The last one I would recommend, I actually read in high school. It's a very easy, quick read. And it does kind of go into all different aspects of it. It's a great brief overview. And it's called Witch Hunt, Mysteries of the Salem Witch Trials. And it's by Mark Aronson. Those are three books that I just happen to have come by over the years that go more in depth with the actual events of Salem. But if you don't give a shit, don't bother. Don't worry about it. You can still love Hocus Pocus for what it already is, which is a great adventure, a Halloween backdrop, and three incredible actresses who play three very creepy witches, and it's a great Halloween fun time. Any final thoughts, Lily?
When you're younger and you have these movies, not for all of them, but at a certain point, sometimes they do kind of like, maybe you watch it when you're a teenager or young adult or whatever, and it's like, oh, fuck, this doesn't hold up.
Yeah.
Or like, it just doesn't do the same thing for you anymore. And like, sometimes for certain movies that like I really hold dear to me, I get worried that one year I'm going to watch it and it's just, I'm going to be over it.
Yeah.
And I'm just glad to say that this, like, far from it, like, with this movie, like, it's still definitely holds up, still gives me that same nostalgic feeling, and then some. And I'm still, as you said, like, there are new things that I'm, like, taking away from it still. Every time, new things that I'm finding funny, you know, now being, like, 28 that I didn't necessarily think was as funny when I was a kid. And so as far as like fun spooky movies goes, I'm still glad that it's like that movie for me every year.
You know, it just is probably, out of all the Halloween movies, this is definitely the one that I probably hold closest to my heart. That being said, I do very much like more scary movies sometimes for Halloween too.
Me too, yeah.
But I think in terms of like what is just my go-to, get in the Halloween mood, enjoy that feeling, that just nostalgic, just fun, that silliness, that playfulness, it's going to be Hocus Pocus for
Same.
Sure.
Yeah.
Even though, yes, there are people that go, okay, it's hokey, it's campy, you know, Halloween's supposed to be about scares and fear and all this other kind of darker, heavier stuff. I think there is still room for all of that, but I do think Hocus Pocus has the playfulness, the nostalgia, the kiddie side of what makes Halloween so much fun and so adventurous, mm-hmm. and I think it really has a little bit of something for everybody. But thank you guys so much for joining us on our random and very exciting discussion of Hocus Pocus. I think it's time for a drinking game.
Yeah. Take a shot when Danny says yabos.
Yes!
We didn't talk about yabos.
Oh my god, I love that.
Fucking
Max likes your yabos. In fact, he loves them.
Literally the only fucking instance, not just movie, but just instance in life where someone has referred to boobs as yabos.
I've never,
it's a term
anywhere
completely
else.
Completely unique to Hocus Pocus.
Yeah, I cannot recall a time when I have ever heard boobies referred to as yabos. I love it though. Give me yabos.
Everybody Maybe there was something in the movie where they weren't going to be allowed to say boobs or something similar to boobs. They just had to come up with
yabos.
Probably.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I probably
would doubt it. Because I've never heard that anywhere else.
Yeah, me neither. But it's like, you know exactly what she's talking about.
I know, and it just makes it
that much funnier because it's like, that's definitely a made-up.
Yeah, it has to be.
Take a sip every time you notice SJP's wig has changed.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. I like that. Because that's like personally, like if you are paying attention, you better, you better pay attention to that. Yeah.
Take a sip every time someone says virgin,
which is a lot. Yes. Oh, my God. Seriously. You're gonna need that.
A virgin lit the candle.
A virgin. Are you a virgin? Gee.
I'll get it tattooed on my forehead.
Okay? I know. That's like so many times they have to say that.
Say a lot. Finish your drink when Winifred turns to stone. So until she's completely like.
Yeah.
I always thought it was funny because like the stone version of her looks
so like, different. Yeah. It's like, they made this way before they shot this because it doesn't look right at all. I love it. Oh, I say take a shot when Billy Butcherson cuts his mouth open. That guy's mouth has been sewn for 300 years.
Hell yeah.
He needs those moths out of his mouth. He needs some recognition. Take a shot for that man. Oh, what about when Jay and Ice are pantomiming while they're making fun of Max? All that pantomiming, you need to be chugging your drink.
Okay.
I think you should take a shot when Mary is flying on a goddamn vacuum cleaner. She's my hero. She's on there. They get brooms and mops. She gets a goddamn vacuum cleaner, which is magically powered because you hear it. You hear it vacuuming in the air, not plugged in. Like the magic is flowing. Give that woman, take it. A shot for her.
Every time someone makes fun of Max for being from Hollywood.
Yes. Oh my God. Take a sip for your California laid back tie dye attitude.
Oh my God, so extra. Thank you so much for having me, Nina.
Thank you for coming all the way down here to do this.
Yay.
So much fun. I could talk about this movie with you forever in a day.
Mm-hmm.
You are my boo. We do this
every year regardless, really. Yeah. This time we just set up a microphone.
Yeah, this is the actual conversation we have pretty much every year. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to Salem and Biggs Present. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Pinterest, and Facebook. Don't forget to visit salemandbinks.com and subscribe to the email list or become a member and you'll already be on it and you can comment on blog posts. Let's not forget to thank my big brother and our big sponsor, Bijan Sharifi. And let's thank Fiona, our producer, who has been acting wild and crazy today. She's been all over the place. We love her so much.
Knocking over microphones.
Yeah. But you know what does matter? I found the name of Boy in Class.
Oh.
And that's his name is Boy in Class.
So. Damn it, not Fat Chance Boy.
Not Fat Chance Boy. Jeff Neubauer. It had to be a producer's son.
The makings of such a promising young actor.
The way he delivered Fat Chance Max, I mean, I felt like he knew Max through childhood. And Max hadn't even lived in that town. This boy, who are you? Come back to the silver screen, sir. What if he died? I hope he didn't. I hope he did. Don't die.
Oh, my God. If you're out there, what's his name again?
Fuck, where did it go? Jeff Neubauer.
What?
Neubauer? Like N-E-U and then Bauer. Like Jeff Neubauer.
If you're out there, reach out to us.
Reach out. We are your biggest fan. No one else is giving you the attention you fucking deserve, okay? Jeff.
Oh, God.
Be my classmate.